WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is a gloriously Baltimore Positive week around here. Luke Jones joins us now. We're going to be at Coco's on Thursday from 2 to 5. I'll be telling you about it. It's the Maryland Lottery presenting our Maryland Crab Cake Tour in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, as well as our newest sponsor, Jiffy Lube. Make sure you're keeping a lookout for all of our 25th anniversary-related activities brought to you by Curio and Far and Daughter. That'll be around all week. But we have playoff baseball coming to Baltimore. The Ravens coming back home this week for the Colts. And what a Sunday it was. You couldn't be everywhere. You couldn't be in Cincinnati and at Camden Yards and at the Kicks concert. I was on the couch for long stretches of it. This guy was at the ballpark. Champagne in your hair, Luke Jones? Any champagne lingering?
No champagne. No champagne. full disclosure, because I think we're going to tell the story here, Nestor. We're going to be honest. I wasn't at the ballpark Sunday. And part of that, one, because the Baltimore Ravens played on Sunday, and of course, we'll talk all about the huge win over the Bengals, but having talked to a few different people over the course of the week, and even over the course of the four-game set against the Rays, which, as we know, did not start off on the right foot for the Orioles whatsoever, there was a lot of internal debate in terms of whether the Orioles were actually going to do the full-blown champagne celebration because of the circumstances of not playing their best baseball over the course of the last week, because of the circumstances that if we had talked about this a week ago, I probably would have told you a playoff berth would have been clinched, I don't know, Wednesday or Thursday. And if it had been in the middle of this Rays series, knowing that, yes, they're excited about going back to the postseason, but that's been all but a slam dunk for about a month now that they were no worse than going to be a wild card. So there was a lot of talk that, okay, they'd hug and they'd probably jump around a little bit on the field, but probably not, or maybe not going to do the full blown champagne and other adult beverage kind of celebration that you see in baseball. So that was part of what factored into my decision. In addition to, you know, again, not winning the division yet, although certainly they improved their chances immensely over the last two games of the series, but also wanting to watch the Ravens and not, you know, like you said, you can't be in two places or three places at once. So I watched.
By the way, it was a great day, but I wouldn't want to have to do it every day where they're playing simultaneously, right? Like, it's really 25 years of owning this place, 32 years. It's very unique. I remember that Cordell Stewart day where the Mariners were here back in 97, but that's it. I mean, in a lifetime of games, it really was a day for the ages. And when you get pushed into it, everybody went to the Oriole game, didn't get to watch the Raven game, right?
Right, right. And I mean, I think, as I noted, and it was strange even what I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com on Sunday, and I'll have plenty of Ravens over the course of the week and as we turn their sights towards Indianapolis and trying to improve to 3-0. But I wrote about the Orioles on a day when the Ravens had, in my mind, one of their most impressive wins of the last few seasons. I mean, going to Cincinnati and beating the Bengals, despite being so shorthanded, down multiple starters. But the Orioles really did rule the day because it's clinching the playoffs, back in the postseason for the first time since 16, and just, you know, an exciting day at the ballpark, another comeback win, another win in which they win in strange fashion. I mean, Ryan O'Hearn drops a bunt. He said after the game that it's the first time he's bunted in like 5 years, but Brendan Hyde saw him going up against the lefty. He hasn't faced many lefty pitchers all year, and he drops a perfect bunt on the first pitch in the bottom of the 11th inning. I mean, it's just the latest way that the Orioles figured out a way to win a ball game. And it just felt very appropriate. And then when they do that, when they come back the way that they did and they get the split, they're no worse for wear than where they were at the start of the series. Two games up, tiebreaker in hand, playoff berth officially clinched because of the Rangers loss, but the Orioles won to reinforce having clinched. Yeah, you celebrate and you enjoy that for a moment, and you need to turn your sights very quickly towards the Houston Astros, and we'll get to that, but it was a great day to be a Baltimore sports fan with what the Orioles did, with what the Ravens did in Cincinnati, and a reminder, like you said, it's tough to juggle both. It's tough to watch each game at the same time, and you're flipping back and forth, and you know, you're firing up the DVR and all that, but boy, it was just a lot of fun, and you know, whether you were at the ballpark, whether you were watching the game with friends at home, or whether you were just sharing the excitement with friends and strangers, quite frankly, on social media. It really was a great day for Baltimore, and you just saw all the reaction, just how much fun it is. And let's face it, let's call a spade. These days have been few and far between where you've been able to share the excitement of both teams having something really good happen on the same day. It's only week two for the Ravens. Again, we'll get to that. But for the Orioles, I mean, it's just been an incredible season. We've talked about it all year. And as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, we doubted them. We shouldn't have, but we doubted them again over the course of this weekend. And credit to this ball club for getting up off the mat after a couple ugly losses, especially on Friday night with all the Adam Jones pageantry. And then they lose 7-1 to come out and win the final two games of this series to get the split and keep themselves back in sole possession of first place. Really says a lot about the character and resiliency of this ball club.
Well, obviously, I would have been in Cincinnati had Chad Steele not taken my credential, because that's what I have always done. I would have been in Cincinnati, so I wouldn't have been here. I would have missed the kick show. So all of this has some sort of weird serendipity. And I went to the game Thursday. I went with my wife. I went to the game Friday alone. I was down at the Nest, and there'll be more parties down at the convention center as well. We had a pretty good time down there with friends. I don't want to say I didn't ever doubt them when they lost Thursday and Friday. I thought it's like a long season. They've never been swept. They don't lose series very often. I thought they're probably going to lose 3 out of 4, but they're going to win a game here. They're going to figure this thing out. But it would have made for a much tighter week being at level. They were level on Saturday morning, and it was nervous around here, right? Once they get level, you're like, they're out of first place. They're a part of first place. What do they have to do? Then they get the tiebreaker on Saturday, right? And then Sunday, if I were taking phone calls all day on Monday after Sunday, it would be more of a timeline. It would be more of like, where were you and where were you when? So the football game kicked, and then the baseball game went, and it rained in the morning, so it looked like the baseball game might not go on time. And I thought, well, they'll play the baseball game at 4 o'clock, and like we'll get both of them in, right? I wind up monitoring them both in the last channel. Red Zone didn't have a chance with me Sunday. I had no chance for Red Zone. So I had a baseball game and a football game. And then I had Kicks tickets, which, no offense to the Ravens or the Orioles, Kicks has been better to me over the course of my – Steve Whiteman's been nicer to me, as have the Child's Play folks. So I was going down to Merriweather for that because it's a historic night for anybody that's a rock and roll fan here too. So I don't want to leave that part of it out for the Baltimore Beatles having their – the greatest band of the history of our lifetime locally. And it was a scene, Luke. I mean, you're talking about the scene at Oriole Park over the weekend or the scene for Adam Jones. Kicks had 15,000 people. I mean, like it looked like a Jimmy Buffett concert. It was insane. But I get in the car at 4:20, whatever it was, 4:25, and the Orioles game's not over yet. They pushed into the 11th inning that time. It's the 10th inning, about that time. I got in the car, and I'm like, well, 98 Rock, no, they got the football game. Well, BA, they put the baseball game on BAL for the old folks, right? Football game. I'm like, where's the baseball game? I had like, Google, figure out that BAL has some FM channel I've never heard of, 101.5, and the Oriole game was on, and I'm like, what do they do when they're both on at the same time and they have the same flagship? So I even learned a new radio station, and I own a radio station on the way down to Columbia. So just the where you found the game, where you were, I had friends with Kicks tickets. Now they're in the 11th inning at Camden Yards. They had to go home to Canton to get their car because they Ubered to the ballpark thinking, well, the game will be over at 4 o'clock and we'll make it a concert. So the baseball game, the football game, where you were that day, and even you not being at a stadium, and you're always at a stadium, they let you in because you couldn't. It was weird. It will sink in for the rest of my life as one of the strange sports days. And dude, we might have 1, 2, 3 more in October where there's a chance of some conflict. The NFL is so powerful. Baseball tries not to play on Sundays, but for this reason, next month, you'll feel that. But this was sweet serendipity. I think being a lifer and being a Baltimore guy to have all of that happen and a Kicks concert to end their career. Sunday, September 17th, 2023 will always be special. Special day in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we said. I mean, there just haven't been that many times where the Orioles and the Ravens One, they don't play on the same day that often. I mean, you only do that once a week, right? Because the Ravens play once a week. So, and you only have that in September because, frankly, the Orioles haven't played a whole lot of October baseball since 1996 when the Ravens arrived.
Dude,
So,
I've seen you at a lot of football games in September. A lot. You and
yeah.
I have been together 15 years. I've only been thrown out for a year or two. We sat every September at games, and it's not like you were ever worried about the Orioles. Maybe in 12 or 14 or 16, but I don't even remember who they played on those days. You know, I mean, as a kid with the Colts, I absolutely remember days where they both played. And, you know, my dad would take me to a Colts game. We'd have the Oriole game on the transistor. I remember way more about that in my youth than I do at any point in the last 15 years, because the Orioles have not been a relevant entity on Sundays in September, ever.
Right. And again, you look at just the reality of it. Even the years where the Orioles have been good, it's still only one of 162 compared to one of now 17 rather than one out of 16 for football. So the stakes are different. I mean, it really is. But in this case, that's why, I mean, even last week, September 10th, when the Orioles lost at Fenway, the finale against the Red Sox in that three-game set, we didn't give that specific game that much oxygen. We've given the Orioles so much oxygen, but yeah, this was a little bit different because of how this series had started out. Because you're in a position now where there are 2 weeks to go, 13 games to go at the end of this four-game set. You know, it's a sprint now. So each one of these baseball games takes on more of a life that resembles a football game because there just isn't a whole lot left in the calendar. And when I said that everyone started doubting, it's not because anyone starts to think, well, the Orioles, they're showing you who they are. No, it's not that. You go through some rough patches, but when it's a rough patch in mid-September, you only have so much time to make it up. That's why it was so important for the Orioles to win the final two games of this series, get themselves back to two games up. They won the season series tiebreaker. Keep in mind, there's no game 163 anymore with the expanded playoffs. It's a tiebreaker. And with the Orioles having won the season series, they've got the tiebreaker in hand. So they've given themselves, hey, there's a lot of work to be done still. And the Tampa Bay Rays are quite formidable. We saw that over the course of the weekend. They're not going away, but you are in a position now where you have a little bit of cushion. You're going on the road now, Houston, and of course, a four-game set with Cleveland after that. And then you come home for your last homestand. So it's a sprint. And in the meantime, we're going to see Brandon Hyde trying to feel out what the rotation's going to look like. I think we know Grayson Rodriguez is going to be in it
I was
after
just going to
Saturday.
say, let's give some oxygen
Yeah.
to that. I mean, of all the stories of stories over the weekend, the collapse on Thursday, certainly on Friday, couldn't hit the ball. Nobody was hitting the ball. I always think that's temporary when you have good hitters. You know, slumps, fine. I'll hear that. I feel like these guys are going to hit the ball, including Kerstad, who they brought up over the weekend, and that's its own story. But the pitching in general, and what Fuji went through on Sunday, and Cano's now the closer, and Lopez got lit up too. And the pitching is going to be the thing we're going to question. And dare I say, when they get eliminated, because that sounds like crass, but most of the time, everybody gets eliminated but one. If they get eliminated, when they get eliminated, we'll blame the pitching, right? It'll be because the bats went cold, but the pitching is what we kind of want to blame.
Well, I mean, I just think it's so tough because you're just asking young guys to do so much. I mean, they already have. I mean, Grayson Rodriguez has already thrown a career high number of innings. Kyle Bradish has already thrown a career high number of innings. Dean Kramer, who pitched well on Sunday, already thrown a career high
By the
number
way,
of innings.
all of this you knew in July. You knew in
Right.
July that if these guys stayed healthy and they kept winning and they had a two-game lead in late September and they clinched, like that you were the one the most worried about this in June. You were the one saying, shut guys down. Tyler Wells, remember him? What happened to him?
Well, I mean, I wasn't saying shut them down. I was just saying you have to be aware of where they are. And Tyler Wells was a good example of this. I mean, he was arguably, you know, right there with Bradish. He was right there as their best pitcher, best starting pitcher in the first half of the season. But he wore down and he's still kind of trying to figure out, things at Triple A Norfolk as a reliever to see him back up here. I mean, I asked Mike Elias at the start of the last homestand where they were with Tyler Wells, and he still expressed feelings of really wanting to see him back in this bullpen. But I mean, you're not on scholarship. I mean, you have to be pitching, you have to be feeling good. The stuff has to be good, and it's been a mixed bag for him at Triple A Norfolk over the last few weeks, including having a tired arm that they shut him down for about a week. So, I mean, that's just part of it, and that wasn't to be a doom and gloom or pessimistic or anything. It's part of their narrative. It's part of where they are as a club right now. Felix Bautista, he threw a bullpen on Sunday, believe it or not. He still has a long way to go if there is some glimmer of hope of him pitching in October, but the door's not shut yet. If he does come back, though, is he going to be throwing 100 miles per hour? Is he going to be effective? You know, putting aside the element of the elbow starting to feel bad again and having to be shut down, and you know, the big picture question of when and if he's going to undergo Tommy John surgery. So, I mean, yeah, there are questions about the pitching all over the place. That's why it's so disappointing to see Jack Flaherty fail. Quite frankly, Mike Elias fail as it pertains to the trade deadline and adding some starting pitching help. But that said, despite those concerns and just the reality of where they are, Kyle Bradish acquitted himself well on Thursday night. Not his best start, but still pitched seven innings. And Grayson Rodriguez looked every bit the part of a future ace on Saturday with eight shutout innings. I mean, he was brilliant. It's impressive to be in that spot as a rookie, especially remembering where he was in late May, for him to pitch and turn in his best start of the year in that kind of situation where you're talking about a team that had lost four in a row. The Rays had just pulled into a tie for first place with them. It's a really good Rays lineup, even with some of the injuries that they've had. I mean, they hit the ball. We know that. For him to pitch the way that he did, I'm not saying it's, you know, what the Astros have had in recent years or what the Nationals had 4 years ago when they were in the postseason and had, you know, Scherzer and Strasburg. But Kyle Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez right now, I feel really good about those guys. And look, how they pitch in October, you don't know, because you don't know until anyone gets there for the first time. But, you know, they have been so big for the Orioles over, you know, Bradish the entire season, Grayson Rodriguez since being recalled after the All-Star break. They have been quite the 1-2 punch. And look, they're gonna figure out the rest of their rotation. You know, Kramer, you know, John Means is going to start again here this week. Looked okay his first time pitching in the majors since April of 22. So they still have, you know, Kyle Gibson's going to factor in there somehow. So these last 2 weeks, one, they've got to keep winning because they want to win the division. And you absolutely want to avoid that best of three wild card series, even if you are playing at Camden Yards, which they would. But, you know, best of three, you have a bad 24 hours. It can be over, period. I mean, that's just how that format works. So you want to win the division. You want that first round bye to, for some of the reasons I just stated, to set up your pitching staff, to see where Felix Bautista is, to see where the rest of your bullpen is, and, you know, to give yourself the best possible chance to win. But you got to win the division to do it. So these next 2 weeks are going to be fascinating to see how Brandon Hyde massages the pitching situation for this team and kind of figures out where they are rotation wise, figure out where they are bullpen wise, but also you have to win games. You have to keep winning games over these next 2 weeks. So buckle up. It's going to be a lot of fun. But that said, I thought it was completely appropriate and great for this club and for this fan base to celebrate the way they did on Sunday. And very much enjoyed that, watching that, just like the rest of Baltimore.
You know, the nervousness, because we're going to talk more football than baseball here, at least in the near short term, as they go to Houston because they've clinched. The notion that we woke up Saturday after Friday night, and I was down at the ballpark Friday night watching the nothingness that happened. It was 7-0. You know, cursed that it's the home run. They were getting no hit. And losing 7-0. So it was tough. And it was, I mean, you were there. I saw you. I was sitting 5 feet away from you. Man, it was quiet. People didn't have a chance to cheer. Then you wake up Saturday. And my feeling on Saturday was like, well, if they lose the division, I don't love their chances of winning the World Series. I love 4 days off and not having to play, and half the teams get thrown out, and then you get a serious series. Your pitching's rested, their pitching's not. You go into it, you win a game or two early, you can wipe that series out, then you get to the ALCS and you take your chances against whoever survives. And it might be the Rays. I mean, they're pretty good. So knowing all of that, I thought, I don't like them so much on Saturday. I don't like them as a not a division winner. I don't like them as a wild card. I wouldn't like anybody's chances in the tournament. Saturday and Rodriguez coming out there and laying down that kind of an effort, that kind of a big time, I'm the one, I'm the guy, I've been waiting around. You and I were spending the off season last year talking about, well, if they're competitive and if they have a chance to win a wild card and if they're going to be playing competitive baseball at the end of September, they're going to need boop, boop, boop to happen, right? Like all these things are going to have to happen. Rodriguez was at the top of it, right? Because he's the top side guy that Bradish doesn't have that kind of ceiling. None of these guys have that kind of ceiling. The ceiling we saw on Saturday night. And something that I say we haven't seen that in him. I mean, every time Ben McDonald talks about him, he's like, he had five quality starts out of the first 10 when he came up. He had five starts where he was less than two runs. Like he was okay back in the spring some of the time. Now he's better than that, and he's what was advertised. And this is a promise that on July 31st, they dealt for Flaherty, thinking Flaherty might be the game one guy because he pitched in the World Series. He had that sort of pedigree. And now he's probably not going to be on the roster, let alone be the guy. So finding that guy while winning the division, and it looks like they're going to win the division without a hiccup this week, and these games in Houston won't be easy, and still got teams playing for their lives as well. I'm enamored with the fact that they have a 1, 2, and 3 that they're going to be able to make some steam 2 weeks from now, that they're going to have legitimate pitching out there, that they're not going to, and with the Verlander situation, right? Like they're going to win some matchups. Rodriguez against whoever is they're pitching, if there's a bye and he's set up to pitch and they'll be on their third guy or fourth guy, whoever it would be, whoever's available, depending on the cat fight they have in the three games they have, that I feel good about game one, Grayson Rodriguez, Camden Yards, ALDS. I'm willing to put a nick. I could even bet on it. So yeah, maybe I would be willing to bet on it.
Well, yeah. I mean, he has a 2.59 ERA since being recalled. I mean, that's 11 starts. That's 66 innings. That's not an that's not a massive sample size, but that's not an insignificant one either. I mean, so he's pitched that well. And look, let's give Kyle Bradish his flowers as well. I agree with you. Grayson Rodriguez has a higher ceiling, but Kyle Bradish, to me, this year has proven he has a higher ceiling than initially thought. He's been that good all season for them, really since returning in April. You know, as choppy as first three starts, something like that, four
when
starts,
he
and
threw
he's been
that great
excellent.
game last year, right? He threw that one great game in the beginning that you flashed, hey, maybe, but hey, maybe, and the consistency of actually being that kind of a pitcher over 30 starts is it's a long bridge. And you're right. I'm not down on Bradish,
No, and
but
I'm not saying you were right.
as a game one starter, I'm not intimidated by him.
Yeah, I mean, and look, let's have enough self-awareness here. I'm not sure other teams are going to be intimidated by Grayson Rodriguez just yet because, okay, other than knowing he's been a top prospect around baseball the last couple of years, this is still a small sample size. However, I agree with your point in terms of him going up against, take your pick. And look, there are plenty of great starting pitchers that we're going to see in the postseason here. And the Orioles offense, as good as it might be despite this week's drought, they're going to have their hands full. There's no question about it. But your point is well taken, and I agree that you feel good about Grayson Rodriguez potentially going toe to toe with name your guy. Same with Kyle Bradish. You know, Dean Kramer, not quite as much, but again, Dean Kramer has pitched well more often than not this year. And you know, we're going to see what that fourth spot looks like. I mean, Kyle Gibson's the vet. You know, he doesn't have extensive postseason experience, but he has some. And to me, John Means is the fascinating wild card here. You know, he wasn't overwhelming against St. Louis, but he didn't look like a guy. He didn't necessarily look like a guy who hadn't pitched in the major leagues in 16 months either. So, you know, let's see how it looks this week. Let's see how he looks in the next start after that. You know, let's see how this shakes out. To your point, Flaherty at this point, I mean, he's fighting just to be on the postseason roster at this point. I don't know. He would have to pitch incredibly well over these last couple of weeks to be in the
Yeah,
postseason
what would the
rotation.
role be?
Yeah, exactly. Well, but I will say this, what the role is, they're still trying to figure out the bullpen. You made mention, I mean, Jorge Lopez, that's why it's been curious to me for Brandon Hyde to use him in some of the situations that he has, quite frankly. Not even because you have all these guys in the bullpen that you trust, because you don't. I mean, you have Cano that you feel really good about. You have Danny Coulombe you feel really good about. Fujinami recently has been more good than not, although there's still that Jekyll and Hyde flip a coin kind of feel when he enters a ball game. But again, he's pitched well over the last month or so. He's been much better than he had been. But you know, it's not as though you have all these established guys in the pens. But for me, it's just been strange to see Hyde use Lopez the way he has, because he's not eligible for the postseason, remember. So yes, you need to win these games. And yes, you're still trying to figure this out on a nightly basis just to get to where you want to be, which they have the postseason spot clinched now. They want to win the division, but they're still searching. You know, I mentioned Tyler Wells 5 minutes ago talking about this. So they're
it's
still
weird
figuring
that Lopez
that out.
isn't eligible. I mean, I know we've talked about this, but I just find that pick somebody else up off the end of the roster. That just seems like, why he's your property. Why wouldn't he be eligible? I mean, that seems like a weird rule to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a quirky part of how baseball roster rules have worked for at least as long as I can remember. So, you know, I mean, there was a case, Heston Kerstad gets called up and someone else goes on the 60-man roster, which allowed him to go on the 60-day IL. And then that allows him to go on the 40-man roster, makes him eligible for the postseason if you want. So it is quirky. It is weird. The thing I'll point out, and again, it's why I've been, and I'm not trying to belabor the point, but Jorge Lopez had really struggled this year. It's why he was available to
right.
the Orioles.
Nobody
on
wanted
waivers.
Him. That was my point.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. So it's a little bit strange, but I mean, that's where they are right now. They're trying to figure this out. In the meantime, Felix Bautista is throwing and threw a bullpen on Sunday and has been throwing even on back-to-back days. So
that would be a miracle beyond,
yeah,
you know,
no,
like, and if he's pitching in the ninth inning a game for a month from now and getting guys out and blowing 101 mile an hour smoke, then my eyes have seen something.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear. I am not trying to sell that as something that I still believe to be likely. But if you had asked me a week ago, I would have said 1%. But he's now to the point where he's throwing bullpens, and it seems so far so good. So I don't know. Maybe I'm at 5% now. I don't know. I mean, he still has quite a ways to go here. I mean, keep in mind, he's coming up on, what, 3.5 weeks since he last pitched. Even if he gets to a point where he's throwing bullpens and you say, all right, he's feeling good. His elbow feels good. His mechanics look good. So we're not worried about him, you know, further injuring his arm. But then there's the question of, okay, how hard is he throwing? How effective is he going to be? What's his command going to look like? We're talking about a power reliever here who hasn't been on the bump for close to a month at this point in time. So there's a lot to that. I'm going to be clear. And again, I don't want Orioles fans to expect that or get their hopes up. And I think everyone's being realistic about it. I think everyone's got curiosity about it more than
yeah,
anything
I think I
else.
Got as much chance of seeing him as I do Don Stanhouse come out of the bullpen, right?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's that. I wouldn't go that far, because he has been throwing for a week and a half, 2 weeks now, I guess it is, something like that. But he still has a long ways to go. And it's still a case of, how's he going to feel? How's it going to look? How effective can he be? So we still have a couple weeks to monitor that situation. But in the meantime, Brandon Hyde very much still looking to see how this bullpen, how this starting rotation is going to shake out for October. But the good thing is they officially know now that they are going to be playing October baseball. And again, fun celebration on Sunday seeing that unfold.
No champagne in his hair. He was busy watching football, baseball, doing his job and working hard. I was busy rocking with kicks and child's play on Sunday night. What a weekend. We're going to get a ton of football in here. We have not forgotten about Lamar Jackson and this amazing win in Cincinnati, or how stinky Joe Burrow and the Bengals looked. They were overrated at 0-2. We're going to continue on. I got my Coco shirt on because Coco's is our newest sponsor. We're going to be with Marcella on Thursday from 2 until 5. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody over in Lauraville, where Sig's going to be coming by. My man John Morgan, who wrote a book at the Baltimore Sun 30 years ago about the football team and the stadium and Stadia. Very, very timely guest from Bloomberg News. He's going to be in town this week. We're going to have a crab cake with him on Thursday, so I'm looking forward to that. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We have the Ravens scratch-offs. They were lucky the other day at Fadley's. We did have a $3 winner at my table at Fadley's on Friday. You'll hear our conversation with Coppin State President Dr. Anthony Jenkins, as well as head coach Larry Stewart. We had a really nice visit. Leonard Raskin joined us down at Fadley's on Friday, which began a beautiful weekend downtown for Oriole baseball. I participated in a couple of games. I got my orange jersey. I'm 0-2 in the orange jersey. I don't know. I'm going to try to break it back out this week, but I may have to go find the white jersey, which was no luck at all. I've owned it 30 years. I haven't won a damn thing. So I'm trying to change things up here a little bit. So if you see me out and about, I was at Costas this week as well. Had a delicious crab cake and a steak. We brought that home, threw it on the grill Saturday night while we watched some baseball. So life has been planned around sports here again. It'll be planned around the Indianapolis Colts this week as the Colts come to town. All of our stuff will be out at Baltimore Positive all week long. You can find Luke anywhere the internet sells. He'll be out in Owings Mills waiting for the Ravens and watching the Orioles out on the road as they continue to try to bring home the AL East crown. 2 weeks. Two-game lead. Let's see how it goes. My fingers are crossed. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.